Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Carl from Deviant Legion and Film and Stuff. And Rachel is here with us. So say hello, Miss Rachel.
Hello, Miss Rachel and her better half, Jeremy.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hello.
Yeah, Carl, I brought our Amen corner tonight. So he's going to be in the background making noises. Maybe they'll be funny.
Oh, absolutely. So we're going to be doing a commentary on a film that Rachel particularly likes and that I am a virgin on. So we're going to let this over to Rachel. And Rachel, why don't you introduce the movie where what we're doing for spooky season. Yay, spooky season!
Yes, I'm so excited. We're starting out spooky with a super spectacular Rachel pick this week. And it is one of my favorite just really scary movies, but it's not scary in your usual way. There's no monsters. There's no supernatural. It's all psychological, and it's all just – I don't know. This movie stuck with me for so many years, but I couldn't watch it for so long because of how intense it got. And let me say, if you can make it all the way to the last scene and then through the last scene, you will get a gold star from me because, wow, I'm thinking about it right now and just glad that I have a hand to hold. I'm just going to say that. Now, the other thing is, if you want to get the idea of how spooky and psychological and kind of fucking weird this movie gets, Anthony DeBlasi, the director and writer of this movie, actually co-wrote it with Clive Barker. Yes, the Clive Barker. So, who also produced
and
it?
And Clive
so,
fucking Barker of Hellraiser, Candyman, Nightbreed, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
So, like, just so you know, this isn't going to be like Hellraiser, but this is more like, almost like a realistic Hellraiser. It's sick. It's just sick, okay? And I am so excited that you guys are going to watch this with me and that I'm introducing it to a lot of the world. I do have to give a shout out to my dear, dear friend, Todd Billings, for introducing this to me in his creepy old trailer in the middle of the night. And wow. So here we go. This is on a new one, not new, but one that we don't normally use. So that is Plex. We're trying out Plex for maybe the first time on our show. So we're hoping it works out. I don't think they have any ads except for the three ads you have to get through in the beginning, but it's like less than a minute and a half. So you're all good. So Carl,
I'm ready to go.
Yeah, all right. Well, go get the remotes ready. And I think that since you're the virgin, you get to count us down because I'm already going to start talking about it.
Okay, so here we go. We do 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then I say go, and that's when we begin. So shall we start?
Yes.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.5, 1, go.
All right.
And it's After Dark film.
Which we've had some pretty good luck with, if I remember correctly.
Agreed.
I would like to mention that Rachel is wearing the perfect outfit for this. She has a t-shirt that I got for her yesterday that says, Hello, Queen.
Oh, nice.
And there's pumpkins and ghosties and bats and skulls and cats and hats all over my pants. It's tacky as hell, and I love it so much.
Well,
all
you
right.
are the Halloween household. Trust me, I know that. I was there past Halloween era last year.
Oh, and
so,
it's it's getting better this year, so we're excited.
And say hello to Spent for me, too.
Oh, absolutely. He's going to get dressed up this year.
Nice.
And by the way, I love the acting in this.
Ben's going to get at least one more person.
One of the things I do have to say is you know, people love Stephen King, and I don't disagree with that, but I've always been much more into Clive Barker as a writer.
Oh, yeah. So... yeah, that's actually already kind of important. But, you know, I'm sure you know that if you're watching a movie like this and it starts out with a college lecture, you probably want to listen to at least a little bit about what he's saying.
Yeah.
Which was talking about hedonism and all that, so. And this is one of those movies that's filmed in a lot of, like, grays and blues. It makes it a very icy and kind of dark aesthetic. So we're bonding over cigarettes.
Which I have done.
Yeah, absolutely. And I want you to keep an eye on this kid here. Does he not remind you of somebody? See if you can think of who I'm thinking of.
You're talking the kid with the beard, right?
Yeah. No, the one that was just in the lab with the girl who has the port wine stain.
Okay.
And it may be him, but this isn't where he reminds me of that person. Yeah, it is him. Okay. Matthew Gray Gubler.
Oh, okay.
You see it now?
That. Mm-hmm.
Not
and
entirely.
You are a big Matthew Gray Gubler fan. So am I, actually.
I am.
We did Suburban Gothic last year, and I could do that every year for Halloween. I love that movie.
And by the way, when Quaid talks, he's actually pretty interesting. Yeah, so, again, this movie is all about fear, but it doesn't go about it in a way that you'd really expect, I think.
Well, there is a movie that at least what I know of it, and I did check into what it was about, it reminds me of. Do you know a film called Flatliners?
I've heard of it, but I don't know if I've seen that one.
Basically, it's three students who do these experiments about what it is after you die, what happens.
Oh,
and,
interesting.
And this is, you know, this is setting up these three people to do experiments, from what I understand of the synopsis on IMDb and various reviews I've read.
Yeah, that makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay. I can see that. And it's so hard to agree or disagree with something like that without you having seen the movie, because once we get to the end of it, you'll understand.
Yeah. The one thing that I do know is that if Clive Barker is involved, I'm interested.
Okay, so we've already got somebody that just got beat. Oh, he's the little boy, and his parents are being violently murdered downstairs. Wow. Oh, yeah. Did I mention they don't shy away from the violence in this one? Yeah, they're pretty intense already, but wow. Interesting. Oh, God, I keep forgetting how beautiful the scenery is. God, that school is gorgeous.
He reminds you of Grubler. She reminds me of the girl in American Suburban Gothic.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I can see that. 100% can see that.
Now, we still don't know what's happened to her face.
No, at this point, it seems like a really long time to start getting to the point. You really need this character development first.
Oh. That is Clive Barker.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, because if you seriously, like, sit down and watch the Hellraiser movies, it takes for fucking ever to get to the Hellraiser.
Well, you know, the remake of the Hellraiser was interesting, but they lost a lot of what Barker really set up in the film, and I'm talking about the why they did the things they did. And so you lost a lot of that in the remake. For me, the Barker film I love, and of course this should not be surprised, is Nightbreed.
Well, yeah.
You know, I mean, there's all that religious allegory in it. And also, you know, I was always like one of the monsters. And the monsters are the heroes. The damn studio didn't fucking understand that.
Exactly. So you see what they're doing here? They're setting up people. They're setting up relationships. They're really...
Mm-hmm.
Oh, those are beautiful.
Hello. Pretty dank studio cross apartment.
Thought it was the basement of a house.
Okay, so I'm not saying much because I'm trying to catch up with the film and understand. So forgive me if I'm relatively quiet, but something came to mind, and I'm looking it up right now.
I'm kind of doing the same thing. Rachel is being mom at the moment.
Okay.
Okay, sorry we're not saying much, guys, but this really is a lot of character development going on right now.
But one of the things that I noticed, they talked about living through dread and living through somebody, and that came up with a film that I love, and it's called The Sorcerers. Do you know that film, Rachel?
I think we were talking about it the other day.
It's Boris Karloff. It was directed by Michael Reeves, and it's basically this couple, and they're elderly, and they developed this machine to basically control minds, and they can live vicariously whatever that person does, and they can control him. And so the wife goes overboard on this whole thing. And there was a comment previous in this film that made me say, oh, that's the sorcerers. So that's kind of cool. And yes, what's his name would know. Clyde Barker would know the sorcerers, trust me.
Oh, absolutely. Only bricks and terrorists wear sunglasses indoors. Mm-hmm. All right, so they're going to start setting it all up now to do interviews on fear. Spooky. Wow.
Okay.
Oh shit.
Uh-oh, there's an ad.
Yep. Damn it. Sorry, guys.
Well,
we said that we were trying.
At least we know now.
Yeah, we said we were trying this one out. I'm really sorry.
Well, mine is Monopoly. What is yours, by the way? Is it Monopoly?
Gillette.
And now I have PC Richard.
Ooh.
Okay, you know, at least we can make a little comments on the commercials.
Right. Oh, now it's that Backstreet Boys smelly commercial. What?
Oh, good. You know, Viking Appliances, you know, they have all these axes
mm-hmm.
and shit like that. You know. There you go. And Tarantolo. You know, so if you ever do a commercial for motorcycles and you need insurance, contact them. Okay, we're back.
Nope, I've got 97
no,
seconds
not.
Left.
It's Walgreens. Yay! And Taco Bell.
I've got another smelly laundry commercial. I think they're trying to tell me something.
Hey, at least I've got taquitos from Taco Bell. Now I'm hungry.
Jesus Christ, a third smelly good laundry shit commercial.
And we've got two more commercials coming, by the way. There's 800 contacts now.
Oh, and by the way, I'm not hungry because I'm eating shepherd's pie I just made, and it's flipping fantastic.
Oh, good for you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. This is now the fifth laundry smell good thing in a row.
At least I'm getting different commercials. I've got 15 seconds before the ad.
Oh, now they're advertising Cube.
Nice.
All right. Back in.
Yeah, we're back in.
I don't know. I think it's something about how he's, like, expressive with his eyes. Like, that's what reminds me of Googler.
Okay. So you saw this not in a theater? You saw this later?
No.
It
was on DVD, and my friend was, like, on the up and up on these horror sites and stuff. So he would order, like, really new stuff and just buy it sight unseen sometimes. And this was one of them that he had looked into that seemed really good. And Quaid there kind of has the intensity and facial structure of a young Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. So generally, from what I understand, is that one of these three is not my title.
Is not what?
Tied tightly.
Mm-mm.
If you understand what I'm saying.
Yeah. Listen to her story.
Okay. Yeah, I do not have subtitles, so I'm going to have to do something here. So forgive me.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, I did mention this movie gets a little intense.
Yes, you did.
That's not even the half of it, baby. You're going to wish by the end of this that we could go back to that moment and just stop it right there.
Yep.
So you got that, right?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I heard that and I was like, holy shit, this is one of those movies that's going to go there and it's going to go all the way there.
Well, again, it's Clive Barker. I'm not surprised. I don't know if you've ever seen the Midnight Meat Train, but yeah.
Well, I don't want to say it's depraved because it's actually got, you know, it's really interesting, but it has moments of, like, oh, my God, what did I just watch? I don't think I can, like, unsee or unfeel that. So I'm wanting to see, so far, what do you think is going to happen here?
Well, again, I have read the synopsis. Okay.
That's true.
So I have read that. Just say that there's going to be recreations of their trauma that's going to drive them even crazier. Okay? At least that's the guess.
Okay. I can see that. Okay. He's also got a very loose cannon vibe, like very, very Christian Slater and Heathers. Like,
oh,
there's
yeah.
that edge behind him at all times. It's just like, what is that? Where is that coming from? What is that going to do?
Well, Christian Slater has always had that, right?
Yeah. Well, sometimes I feel like he takes it a little bit too far and almost leans into the sleaziness, and then it's just kind of greasy and weird. But I really think they did an excellent job casting this film, too. Yep, this is a dream. It was me. No. Ooh, Jeremy thinks it was him. Got another one to throw in the theory pot here.
It could very well be.
Oh, my God, more ads.
I'm not there yet. Okay, now I'm at the ads.
Tell me where you've been.
Hey, guess what? It's more stinky laundry ads.
Oh, I got Monopoly Go.
Oh, now I got some food.
Oh, that's good. You can okay, so to explain what a shepherd's pie is while we're dealing with this.
Well, I made one a little less than traditional. I do actually have a cooked bottom crust on mine, but that's because pie crust is like one of my secret favorite things in the whole world. And so if you tell me the word pie, it better have a fucking crust on it. So I adapted mine. Actually, my grandmother's recipe had a crust with it, but basically it's a combination of meat and vegetables in kind of like their own gravy sauce. And then you top it with mashed potatoes and bake it, and it's wonderful. I put mine inside of a crust because it just helps keep all that juice and goodness in there. And honestly, it's the easiest thing ever. Just like use a couple cans of ABC soup, a pound of ground meat, your choice, seasonings. Like I use Worcestershire and, you know, some hamburger seasoning and things like that. But super easy to make, man. And so friggin' tasty.
Nice. Well,
and of course,
I didn't have
we're
that.
A cheese family. So I had to top mine with cheese and put a little bit of cheese and mashed potatoes.
Yeah, and that's a good thing.
Of course.
So with your help, I made twice-baked potatoes today for lunch. Now, the potatoes I had were not whole. They were already cut up. And so you can't stuff the stuff back into the skins. So basically, I just made it into patties and then baked it again. And, of course, lots of cheese. And unfortunately, there's enough moisture in it that it basically just made a sort of a...
Oh, shit. Type. You're still on commercials, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm still on commercials, and we got three more.
Oh, fuck. No, I'm back in the movie.
Okay,
girl, I don't know if this is going to work out.
Okay, just hold the movie. Hold the movie.
Yeah.
Pause it.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll just keep talking.
Yep.
Well, good for
I'm at 2703.
Okay. I got two more ads to go. So I had that, and then of course tonight for dinner, I ordered some special meats from Stoltzfus, and I had Amish sausage. That was fantastic.
Ooh. Man,
okay,
mine was just some Costco hamburger that I, you know, divided up and put in the freezer.
You're at
2703. 2703.
Okay, start now.
Got it. Hello, creepy.
Okay. Okay, so that black spot on her face. That
she's got
makeup?
Port wine stains.
Say that again?
They're called, I don't know the medical term for it, but yeah, she has port wine stains. Or that may just be a giant birthmark, but it's covering most of her body. Or one half of it. He bought the fucking car.
Interesting that they're switching back from color to what the film stock is. Interesting.
Yeah. God, his eyes are so intense. I mean, I'm just going to say, he kind of looked like he was getting off on that. And frankly, not a bad little indie soundtrack. More boobies! I always pick movies with boobies in them. I'm awesome.
Yes, you are.
Sometimes she shows me hers. Oh, it's X-Man. I think somebody forgot his meds this morning.
Yeah. One of the things I know about films like this, and I can be wrong here, they set it up that one of the people are having difficulties, and that's the person that you think is doing all this stuff. Generally, that's not the case. So I'm just saying.
She's trying so hard with him.
Mm-hmm.
And he is just, like, not feeling it. He wants camera girl.
Mm-hmm. You know, if anyone has a physical disability, that is noticeable. It really does have an effect on them.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at her and thinking, okay, there's a possibility there, too.
Hey, you know what? At least she only has to do makeup on half her face.
That's true.
And look at the bright side here.
Away from the bright side of life.
There's Mr. Jeremy.
I'm here. I just don't have much to say usually.
Yeah, he's watching. Oh, dear.
Ooh. Hello.
Oh. Did you forget the camera's still on, or what are we doing here? Oh, whatever. I got mostly naked on camera for you. And he leaves his camera? Oh, fuck. You, dude.
Mm-hmm.
Why
yeah.
Could it be like that? I don't know who else, but that guy that plays Quake, him, he reminds me of someone else.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
What? Advertisements.
Okay, no, I'm not there yet. Okay, I'm gonna hold. If it's advertisement every 10 minutes, you know, this is kind of bullshit.
Carl, this isn't gonna work, I don't think.
I don't think it is either. God damn it. Okay, never mind. We're quitting.
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's okay. We didn't know. Did we know? No, we didn't. And it said no ads on Just Watch.
Yeah, I was a little surprised by that.
Yep. Okay, folks, we are calling this a no. Okay, sorry, guys. Okay, tomorrow, though, we have a good one. We're going to have Eric Eichelberger on, and he is the head of the Shaka Go-Go Festival, which is happening here in New York City in Brooklyn from October 18th through the 22nd. And we're going to have three of the filmmakers on before the festival, and then I'll be at the festival and do a post-festival podcast also. So please check in for that. I'm sorry that this didn't work. All right, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Sorry.
All right.
I'll call you after. I'm going to call you right after, okay?
All right.
Okay, folks. Good night.
Good night.